ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 19. Navai jano jatu katan chana prajan Mukunda sevanya varanga samshutim Smaran mukunda vri upraguhanam puna Smaran Mukundhangri Upakuhanam Puna Vihatmi Shenarasa Krahojana What's the word? Na? Never. Vai? Certainly. Jana? A person. Jatru? At any time. Katanchana, somehow or other, Avrajet, does not unclevel, Mukunda Sevi, the devotee of the Lord, Anyarat, like others, Anga, oh my dear, Samshritim, material existence, Smaran, remembering, Mukunda Anghi, the lotus feet of the Lord. Upa Guhanam, embracing. Puna, again. Vihatum, willing to give up. Ichet, desire. Na, never. Rasagraha, one who has released the mellow. Dana, person. Translation. My dear Vyas, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others, fruit of workers, etc. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. Purport. A devotee of the Lord automatically becomes uninterested in the enchantment of material existence because he is prasadraha, or one who has tasted the sweetness of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. There are certainly many instances where devotees of the Lord have fallen down due to uncongenial association, just like future workers who are always prone to degradation. But even though he falls down, a devotee is never to be considered the same as a fallen karmi. A karmi suffers the result of his own fruitive reactions, whereas a devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord himself. The sufferings of an orphan and the sufferings of a beloved child of a king are not one and the same. An orphan is really poor because he has no one to take care of him. But a beloved son of a rich man, although he appears to be on the same level as the orphan, is always under the vigilance of his capable father. A devotee of the Lord, due to wrong association, sometimes imitates the fruitive workers. The fruitive workers once lorded over the material world. Similarly, a neophyte devotee foolishly thinks of accumulating some material power in exchange for devotional service. Such foolish devotees are sometimes put into difficulty by the Lord himself. As a special favor, he may remove all material paraphernalia. By such action, the bewildered devotee is forsaken by all friends and relatives. And so he comes to his senses again by the mercy of the Lord and is set right to execute his devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that such fallen devotees are given a chance to take birth in a family of highly qualified brahmanas or in a rich mercantile family. A devotee in such a position is not as fortunate as one who is chastised by the Lord and put into a position seemingly of helplessness. The devotee who becomes helpless by the will of the Lord is more fortunate than those who are born in good families. The fallen devotees born in good family may forget the lotus feet of the Lord because they are less fortunate. But the devotee who is put into a fallen condition is more fortunate because he swiftly returns to the lotus feet of the Lord, thinking himself helpless all around. Pure devotional service is so spiritually relishable that a devotee becomes automatically uninterested in material enjoyment. That is the sign of perfection in progressive devotional service. A pure devotee continuously remembers the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna and does not forget him even for a moment, not even in exchange for all the opulence of the three worlds. Om Ajnana Chimirandasya Ajnana Nivyana Shalakaya Chakshu Om Nitanya Nantai Slai Shri Guru Vey Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovisham Sabitam Yirabhutale Swayam Vipakadam Ayantarati Swabhantikam Pancha Kalpa Tribhishcha Kripasya Yudha Evacha Patitanam Pravani Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear Vyas, even though a devotee of the Lord sometimes falls down somehow or the other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others, fruitive workers, etc. Because a person who has once finished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. So Narada Muni is giving instructions to Srila Vyasadeva on how to actually expose the greatness of the process of pure devotional service. So he is trying to guide his disciple to actually glorify pure devotional service as the topmost, and specifically pointing out in this verse that even if a devotee seemingly falls down after short or long practice, that devotee actually is never lost to the Lord. As Krishna has asked Arjuna to boldly declare, Kuntaya Pratijanahi Name Bhaktya Pranashati, that a devotee actually does not perish. The devotional service, however small or big that a devotee performs in one life, is never forgotten by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not only is he saved from going down into the lowest species of life, but his bhakti is always protected by the Lord. So bhakti is an element, it is the constant element that we carry with us. We see that our body is changing, our mind, sweat can change, our intelligence can get weaker or stronger, so many different things, but the process of bhakti or the devotion and love that we have for Krishna, that always remains. Even if we are put into difficult situations and our devotional service is suspended for some time, that bhakti that we have, that creeper in the heart, although stunted at some time and not growing for some time, it still remains, because that is the intrinsic nature of the jivas, that eternally we are part and parcels of Krishna. Sometimes we are put into forgetfulness. Sometimes we remember that, but that very fact always remains, even if we do not want to accept it. So we are all servants of Krishna in this life and eternally. In history, of course, there have been many stories and there have been many pastimes that Krishna himself has shown by the agent of his devotees, because Krishna in his pastimes not only wants to annihilate the demons and to give pleasure to his devotees, but Krishna also likes glorifying his devotees. He likes to glorify the saintly caliber of pure devotees. So we have pastimes and examples of devotees like Maharaj Chitraketu. We have examples of who else? Prahlad Bharat Maharaj, who seemingly at some time had fallen down due to some kind of body or subtle attachment to something else besides Krishna. So in the pastime of Chitraketu Maharaj, he was a devotee of the Lord, of course, but somehow or the other, he acted in such a way that his intention was to glorify Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva's associate Parvati got a little offended, therefore she cursed Maharaj Chitraketu to take birth as a demon. And while this was happening, of course, this devotee, Maharaj Chitraketu, accepted that curse with folded hands. And he said, "Yes, Mother, I will accept your curse. Now I shall go down and become a demon as you desire." So he went and became Vritasura. And at the same time, Srila Prabhupada explained that he never forgot that he was a servant of Krishna. Although he's put in a demoniac birth, in a demoniac body, he never forgot that he was a servant of the Lord. So in this pastime, while he was fighting with Lord Indra, he himself would preach to Lord Indra about the goal of life, that he's not the body, he's a servant of Krishna, he should not conform to frailties of material existence, he should get up and perform his duty, etc., etc. The pastime goes on. And Krishna always retained that bhakti or that devotion that Maharaj Chitraketu had, because ultimately we are not our material bodies, as Prabhupada is quoting and explaining over and over again. The essence of most of Prabhupada's lectures in the first 10 years of his preaching was emphasizing this very important point that we're not the body. And sometimes we may think that we want to hear more than that, but actually we have to keep hearing it over and over again. We're not the body, we're spirit souls, eternally servants of Krishna. So Maharaj Chitraketu, as Vritasura, always had his bhakti, which was protected by Krishna, although he was in a demoniac form or demoniac body. So even at the end of his life, before Lord Indra actually killed him, he had already left his body. He chose to leave his body and go back to his eternal position as a servant of Krishna. So this is just one example of how Krishna, through his devotees, shows us the way in which we should also act, that in under any circumstance we should always remember that we're servants of Krishna. And sometimes due to offenses or due to our inattention in devotional service, we may become proud, we may become puffed up, we may our mentality might change towards a more materialistic conception of life. But Krishna is so kind, Krishna is so merciful that he always remembers what we have done for him, even if we've done that once or twice. Even if we've served Krishna for 1 month, for 1 week, for 1 year, Krishna never forgets that. So that is what Krishna protects. Sometimes we may read this verse and think, well, maybe if Krishna is saying that his devotee never perishes, that means we won't, you know, our material body won't give us problems, we'll always be perfect, we won't have any high blood pressure no matter how much sugar we eat, or we won't have you know, issues with our health even if we're just eating unhealthily. You know, I'm a devotee of Krishna, I'm not going to perish. I'll keep eating the gulab jamuns and the pakoras and everything fried and ghee, and I won't exercise, I'll be fine because I'm a devotee of Krishna. But Krishna doesn't say that he will protect our material body and our material conception. Krishna says that he will protect our bhakti, because ultimately that is all that Krishna is looking for, and that is what our main goal of life should be, to reawaken this dormant love that we have for Krishna. So in this first purport, in the first line of the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how a devotee gradually becomes disinterested in the enchantments of material existence. So to see how much we're advancing in Krishna consciousness, we should be able to see, are we getting more attached to material existence, or is that attachment reducing? And are we getting more attached to hearing about Krishna? That is how we can see how we're doing. Are our attachments for matter increasing or decreasing? Is our attachment for hearing Krishna Katha increasing or decreasing? So it's a very important point. When Srila Prabhupada starts a purport, he always starts off with a very important point that he wants to make. So a devotee is rasagraha, and we'll see this even in our lives, that once you taste the nectar of Krishna consciousness, it is very difficult to forget, even if you want to forget. you might have experienced so many different things and been hurt and, you know, felt exploited, etc. So many things go on in material existence. Now, although we're in the garb of devotional wear, although we chant Hare Krishna, but we're surrounded by the material energy and people who are taking that material energy so seriously. So the three modes of material nature sometimes will inflict some kind of suffering upon us, and we have to be well equipped to be able to deal with this kind of environment. So sometimes we become disheartened, sometimes we become upset, sometimes we blame Krishna for different things that happen. But amidst all of that, we can never really forget the taste of Krishna. We should always remember our first experiences when we were chanting Hare Krishna, or our first experiences when we came into the association of Krishna and his devotees. So the main thing that actually makes us stay in devotional service is the association of Krishna's devotees, because Krishna says that's where he resides. Wherever the devotees are congregated, hearing Krishna Katha and chanting his stories, that is where we can find Krishna. On our own, by ourselves, it is very difficult to become really, really Krishna conscious, because our mind is not so strong, and the modes of nature can overcome us. So the wonderful association of devotees is very important. It gives us protection. So although a devotee may go through difficulties, seemingly the same type of difficulties that a karmi may go through, but it is not the same. As Prabhupada gives here the analogy of an orphan and a child of a king, that an orphan may suffer because he's in a lowly position, he has no parents. But the child of a king can also suffer, but it is very different because he always has the well-wishing efforts of his father. So from an external point of view, it looks like this child is suffering, that child is suffering. But the child of a king knows that he has his the well-wishing blessings of his father, whereas the orphan does not. So sometimes we may think that we're suffering by ourselves, that no one is there, nobody cares, Krishna is not there. But in the life of devotees, we see how Krishna always comes to protect his devotees. In the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj, was pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, and specifically we can focus on the pastime of the Pandavas. So I don't think anyone else in existence can ever go through the same difficulties that the Pandavas have gone through. Right, your father has left, it is just your brothers and your mother. And then you are kicked out of the kingdom. So you have an entire nation against you. You are exiled, you live incognito. You take on false identities. You live in the forest. Your wife before was tried to be stripped naked in an assembly with saintly personalities. So many difficulties came up. But each time this happened, in the hearts of the devotees, their attachment for Krishna and their love for Krishna only increased. Now, a total karmi cannot understand this, because when sufferings come, the first thing you do is blame someone. And especially God. You have to blame God because he's supposed to be the Supreme Father. And the father can never let the child suffer. So for a karmi, they would think the first thing that the Pandavas should have done is actually blame Krishna. Krishna, we're your devotees. We've given everything for you. You didn't protect us. You know, we're kicked out of our kingdom. Our mother does, you know, our father's not here. We're just with our mother and wife, and we have nothing to maintain ourselves. We're living like brahmanas. We're living like ascetics. Where are you, Krishna? But this wasn't the mood of the Pandavas, because they always remembered their time, and they were still remembering their time with Krishna. During that suffering period, they were constantly meditating on Krishna. So there's actually no separation from Krishna. Although the external situation made it look difficult or impossible to actually become Krishna conscious. So there's actually no situation in life that one cannot be Krishna conscious, in whichever part of the world you're coming from, in whatever background you were born in, anyone can become Krishna conscious. So the Pandavas are giving us a very wonderful example, proving this fact that once actually you've tasted the sweetness of Krishna, you cannot leave his association, especially when you get tested by the material energy and by other living entities. Will you forget Krishna, or will you still continue in the same mood of love and devotion? But what Krishna is looking for is the heart of the devotee. And what Krishna does is glorify the devotees by arranging all these different pastimes to happen. So in this verse there's a word that's used called Mukunda Sevi. And Mukunda of course means liberation. And by serving Mukunda, one ultimately gets liberation. So if we focus on serving Krishna through the association of devotees, we can give up this association of the external energy. Although sometimes we may fall down for some time, but our devotional service can never get annihilated. Whatever little that we've done can never get annihilated. So what intelligence Srila Narada Muni has, he's using this example, he speaks to his disciple Vyasadeva, and he speaks to him and explaining the situation of the Pandavas, and he says, just see the life of the Pandavas. They are bhakti yogis, they are devotees of the Lord. And he gives a whole history of their life, and he says, this is the process of devotional service, this is the greatness of devotional service. So in your other books you haven't actually glorified devotional service enough. So you've explained everything very wonderfully, but you actually have to glorify bhakti yoga, because this is the most direct way of associating with Krishna. So to glorify Krishna means will ultimately glorify his devotees as well. So Narada, in a way, is inspiring his disciple Vyasadeva to actually write more about Krishna and the position of the Pandavas in pure Krishna consciousness. So he's inciting his disciple to write this Srimad Bhagavatam, highlighting the glorious activities and pastimes of Krishna in relation to his devotees, so that we can see the supremacy of devotional service. The main supremacy, of course, being that whatever it is that you do in devotional service never goes in vain. So this is Narada Muni, he's saying to Vyasadeva, now you preach Krishna consciousness. This is Krishna consciousness. Not for a minute you forget Krishna, although you may be put into difficult situations or trying situations. Now the Srimad Bhagavatam is something that which when we read we should also all become Krishna conscious. We get the understanding through the pastimes of Krishna, we get the attraction to Krishna by reading his pastimes and hearing about his devotees and serving his devotees. So everything we do in devotional service is supposed to be directed towards Krishna, and how we get Krishna is by following in the footsteps of the great souls or the sadhus who are coming in parampara and giving us this wonderful knowledge about what it means to be Krishna conscious. So we start gradually by hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. And why it is very important to hear and chant, so we can develop or we can reawaken our natural or our dormant Krishna consciousness. We all have qualities, spiritual qualities. It's not that we just have material qualities, we have spiritual qualities because we are sat. We are all eternal parts and parcels of Krishna. And I listened to a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, and also in the Nectar of Devotion, the Goswamis are explaining that being part and parcel of Krishna means that we actually have the same qualities as Krishna, but just in minute quantities. So Krishna has beautiful qualities that are also exhibited by the jiva to minute degrees. So being artistic, extremely clever, bold, shy, merciful, compassionate, all these are qualities that we ourselves have naturally. Now, why does it mean that we are parts and parcels of Krishna? It means that you take iron rod, you put it in fire, it becomes like fire. So we are parts and parcels of Krishna. We can become like Krishna in quality. So Krishna is the supremely independent personality of Godhead. It is Krishna's independent quality is something that we also have. That is why we are marginal, because we have an independence. Independence means you can choose to do this or that. It is a quality coming from Krishna. There is no way that Krishna can force us to perform bhakti yoga because we are marginal potency, we have independence. It would be wonderful if everyone was a pure devotee right now. Krishna, just give us prema bhakti, just give it all. Let us become ragatmika bhaktas right now at this minute. Just force us to surrender, because we're not surrendered now. Let's make life easy. Force us to surrender. But Krishna cannot force, because he can't interfere with our nature. Just as we can't interfere with Krishna's nature. Krishna is Sat-Chit Ananda. Krishna is full of transcendental bliss. Krishna is supremely independent. We can't interfere with that. Those are facts about Krishna's tattva. And being independent is also our tattva, the marginal potency. Now the crux of it is, how do we want to use that independence? Naturally, we should use it in the service of Mukunda, so that we get liberated. Unnaturally, we use it in the service of the external energy, and we become caught up in the cycle of birth and death. We get entangled in the three modes of material nature. Now, Krishna's divine property. So we have to learn actually how to use our independence the right way in service to Krishna. Not that we run off with our independence and want to be little gods or little lords of the material nature. That has never worked for anyone, and it will never work for anyone. And naturally we can try, just as the intrinsic quality of water is that it is liquid. In its unnatural state, it can become gas. We can condense it. It can become gas, and we can freeze it. It can become ice. But at the end of the day, it will go down to its liquid form. So we can want to become impersonal. We can want to become, you know, engrossed in our false ego. We may want to become our body, our mind, and senses, but at the end of the day, we are spirit souls, parts and parcels of Krishna, eternally Krishna's servant. Now in the prime process of sadhana bhakti, in the process of sadhana bhakti, we should never think it's a lower process, because we're not spontaneous. So sadhana bhakti is just, you know, it's just sadhana. There's nothing glorious about the process of sadhana bhakti. But the process of sadhana bhakti in itself is very glorious, because you still get direct contact with Krishna. Of course, the Guru is there, he's the divine medium, but he introduces us to Krishna by the process, the 9 items of devotional service. And when we chant, and when we dance in kirtan, when we honor prasadam, we can feel, we can taste Krishna. We can have a reciprocation with Krishna. So sometimes the process of sadhana bhakti is like drinking hot sugar cane juice. The process of bhakti in itself is sweet, it is nectar. But when we are covered by the modes of material nature, the environment is a bit sterile. You may want to drink hot sugar cane juice, but you taste the sweetness, but it's hot. So it's not really pleasant. In the example Srila Prabhupada uses, the hot sugar cane juice, you taste the sweetness of Krishna, it's very hard to resist that juice, although it is hot. Preferably you would like it lukewarm or cold. But when it's hot, still you drink it, but it's not as tasty as we would think it to be. So the process of devotional service sometimes is like hot sugar candy juice. We drink it unwillingly. But nevertheless, with patience and determination, we can overcome the so-called distaste of the process of sadhana, because there's rules and regulations. You have to do this, you have to do that. You have to follow etiquette, etc. And all these things will also be there in the spontaneous love for Krishna. It's not that you come spontaneous and then you're just one with the universe and you do what you like and you float and you love everyone and you hug everyone, you touch everyone. The process of receiving Krishna doesn't mean that you have to be touched. It has nothing to do with physical proximity. Just as we see with the Vrajagopikas, most of the time they're not in physical proximity with Krishna. Their hearts are, and their minds and their consciousness are eternally attached to Krishna. There's no physical proximity. And that is why Vipralamba Seva is the highest, because it's in separation. I was looking at a friend's pictures on Facebook the other day, and she's in America. She's belonging to another group. And she was getting a Shaktipat from her guru. Like, divine energy was coming to her through the agency of the guru. And she's in a female body. Of course, the guru is male. And she was kneeling down in the guru, and she was, you know, folded hands, tears in her eyes, and the guru just hands on her head, and his feet were on her thighs or something. So this is like, you're getting love of God. I have to touch you in order for that to happen. So we understand that bhakti is so glorious, that Krishna can be in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna can be on this altar, and we're out on the street and we're getting direct reciprocation from Krishna. It has nothing to do with physical proximity. This is how powerful the process of bhakti yoga is. I'll stop there and ask if there's any comment or questions. Yes, question.
Very nice. Your observation that independence, that you're being able to fall down into material nature, is actually a symptom of unnatural quality. Interesting point. In expanding the normal.
On our independence. As I was saying, we are independent. This independent quality, if we read Nectar of Devotion, Qualities of Krishna, this point is made as well, that we have the same qualities of Krishna, but in a minute quantity. So the nature of the living entity, they take something small and make it very big. Or they totally size themselves up with that quality against Krishna, which is useless. So our independence means we understand, or any quality we have actually, we understand that this is coming from Krishna, and we use it in Krishna's service. We're shy, we're tricky, we're expert, we're, you know, expert logicians, etc. We use all those qualities in relation to Krishna. Now our independence, being a marginal potency and being able to serve Krishna in whatever rasa that we have, means that Krishna cannot use force. Bhakti is not a process that you can apply force to. Therefore, Krishna has made us with this independence. We can choose to serve Krishna in different ways. Just as we're all individuals and we each have a quality. No, we each have a quality that is distinct from one another, that Krishna only knows. So our independence doesn't mean that we can run off and do our thing. It means that we are individuals who can serve Krishna with that independence favorably. Just as Krishna, he is supremely independent. He's the supreme Lord, but he can, you know, he's free to do anything he likes. Whereas we are made and our DNA structure is such that we actually will only become happy when we use our independence to serve Krishna. That is the only way we can become happy with any quality. You can be the wealthiest person, the most beautiful, the most artistic, the most logical, the most everything, but if it's separate from Krishna, there's no full happiness. You can either be happy in material existence with sense gratification, we can try to become happy by merging into the Brahman, or we can experience the highest happiness by engaging in the process of devotional service. So our independence, when we recognize that we actually have independence, we're recognizing that that is also a quality of Krishna. We recognize that Krishna is supremely independent, so we cannot hold Krishna down through acting in a specific way. But we, on the other hand, have to act in a specific way to always remember Krishna and never forget him. Because marginal means we become influenced by the external energy, unfortunately, if we choose to do so. But Krishna never. Krishna is independent, but he will never get influenced by the modes of material nature. When we want to be independent, we get influenced by the modes of material nature. But if we dovetail that independence towards Krishna, then we're in Krishna's divine energy. I mean, in his spiritual potency. Thank you very much. Vantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.